Now, here in chapter 13, and this is, by the way, a very wonderful chapter. In fact, all of them are here. He says, "Lo, mine eye hath seen all this. Mine ears heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I'm not inferior unto you." Now, you see, he gives all of this discourse in the 12th chapter, to show these men that he knows what they know. And they have not told him anything new. They've not been helpful to him at all. Now he gets to the very crux of the matter. He says, "Surely I would speak to the Almighty." He says, "I want to talk to God. And I desire to reason with God." Oh, somebody could only have been there to tell him about the grace and the mercy of God and how God wanted to help him. "But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value." In other words, Job is saying, "You have not diagnosed my case. You are trying to give me treatment." Well, let's say I'm having trouble with diabetes, and you want to take my lungs out. You want to operate on me. You've missed the whole point. Now, notice as he moves on into this section, verse 5, "Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." And Job says, the best thing for you to do now is to keep quiet, because he says that would be smarter than what you're saying, because you haven't helped me at all. Now, he speaks back to them, and he says in verse 6, "Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for him?" In other words, when they are accusing him of committing some awful sin, and that God is judging him, you see they're dealing deceitfully for God. They're not representing God as they should. Now, Job knows that. He recognized that. But they are not representing God directly. And if they could only bring Job to the place where he could see himself as he really is. But they put him on the defense, and as a result, why, he's making a good case for himself, but it makes it look bad for God, you see. It looks as if God is to blame in this. And these friends hammer him with that, but they're not helping him at all. And so he goes on in that vein here. He says in verse 8, "Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock him? He will surely reprove you if ye do secretly accept persons." Now, Job is coming back at them, and he says, God's going to judge you for misrepresenting. "Shall not his excellency make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand?" Now, in the midst of all of this, the faith of Job just stands inviolate in spite of the onslaught of his friends, and they've now become a stranger to him, by the way, as we shall see. Verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Now, this is the great faith of this man Job, even at this point. But they've not got at the root of Job's trouble at all. And that'll come out just a little later, of course. Now, will you notice, we begin to see it here. He says, "But I will maintain mine own ways before him." Job says, "I can go into the presence of God, and I'm going to defend myself." My friend, the minute that you start defending yourself, you're going to lose your case. When you go in the presence of God, you plead guilty because he knows you. And you don't go in the presence of God and get you an attorney and by some little clever routine try to get out of the accusation and try to disannul God's statement that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, God just doesn't change that at all. And you can't get a smart lawyer that will get you out of that. And you're not going before one of these soft-hearted and soft-headed judges. You're going before the God of this universe, who is the moral ruler. And therefore, the idea that you can go there and plead and you can maintain your case, the thing to do is just go in and plead guilty and cast yourself upon the mercy of the court. And you'll find out God has a mercy seat. And it's a mercy seat because the blood of Jesus Christ is on it. And he paid the penalty for your sin. And my friend, that's the only way you're going to get off. This man, Job here, you can see he needs somebody to really represent God before him and keep him from defending himself and let him cast himself on the mercy of God. This book has a tremendous message, as you can see. Now I'm going to just move right on down in this section here, and let me read verse 16. He also shall be my salvation. Now there's glimmers of light that break through on this man's soul. He says he's going to be my salvation. And that, by the way, is even the teaching of the Old Testament, that God is our salvation. Oh, how David held on to this. David was a great sinner, but he didn't live in sin. He just committed an awful sin. But David, he said, he's my high tower. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He's my salvation. The salvation wasn't a coin that you carried around in your pocket. You might lose it. Salvation's God. And salvation today is Christ. You either have him or you don't have him. You either trust him or you don't trust him. There's no other alternative, friends. There's no man's land between. You can't stand in that place. Either you're for him or against him. And there's none other name under heaven, Peter says, given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only out for the human family. And so Job has a glimmer of light, and it's marvelous. Evidently, this is in the patriarchal age of the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, somewhere along there. Now he says to them, verse 17, hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Now Job says, listen to me. And I think maybe we ought to listen to him. Shall we listen to him now? Behold now, I've ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Now, the unfortunate thing is that he's not going to be justified because somebody else has justified him. This man, Job, thinks that he's got a good case, even before God. A lot of people think that today. Oh, I don't mind coming before God. I can stand there. I have news for you. You've already been condemned before God, friend. You're a lost sinner. You live in a little old world today that's a mess. And man's in rebellion against God. And you've got that kind of a heart. That's the idea today, that you're something. And then you, my God, sure couldn't get along without you. Oh, he can miss you, friend. He can get along without us. But thank God he says he's not. He loves us. And he's made a way for us. So will you listen to this man? He says, I know I'll be justified. I know I will be, but not because I've got a defense myself. I haven't any. I've cast myself upon the mercy of the court. Now listen to Job. Verse 9, who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. You know, this is interesting. Job, at the beginning, he said he wanted to die. Wish he hadn't been born. He wanted to die. Now he says, if I hold my tongue, I'll give up the ghost. All right, Job, if you want to die, why don't you hold your tongue? But he's not. He's going to talk. That's the way a little man, we've got a lot to say. All of us have, by the way. Now listen to him. Verse 20. Only do not two things unto me. Then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Now he's telling God what to do. Oh, a lot of us do that. You know, I hear people say, oh, I tell you, I have unanswered prayers. No, you don't have unanswered prayers. God always answers prayer. He says no. At least he said no to most of mine, but that's an answer. But you see, a lot of our praying is giving orders to God. We're sort of like a top sergeant talking to a buck private in the rear rank. We say, we want this, you do that, and you do the other thing. And God doesn't move that way. And Job's trying to tell the Lord, withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Job is a frightened man. But God says, I'm not moving according to your plan. I have a plan, and I'm going to work it out in your life. Verse 22, then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. I had the privilege of speaking to a group of college students at the San Jose State College. They got 25,000 students up there. I'd never dreamed it was that big a place. And I met with a Christian group. And I was rather amazed to hear some of these young people arguing about prayer. What's the use of praying? Because you can't change God, and you just don't need to do that at all. May I say to you that they reminded me of Job here. Their idea was that God should be one that would come at their beck and call. And they felt like prayer was that. And I tried to make clear to them, I said, look, prayer actually is not to change God. I said, where'd you get that idea that you're going to change God by prayer? I said, the primary purpose of prayer is to change us. I used to have a little motto, and I think it's partially true. It says prayer changes things. Well, I think it does, too, but prayer changes us, friend. That's an important thing. If you think that God is a Western Union boy and that all you've got to do is just have him come and deliver a message for you or come and deliver you something, you're wrong. That's not it. Job here is telling God what to do. Then I don't point my finger at Job because I've done the same thing. Now, listen to Job here. He says, verse 23, how many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, and wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? The thing is, Job wants a showdown with God, very candidly. What he's asking for now, he said, I want to know how many my sins are that he's treating me as he is. And I'm just like a leaf that's being driven to and fro. And you step on it. And I feel like God stepped on me. He says, verse 27, thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print from the heels of my feet. And he as a rotten thing consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten. He said, well, I'm just rotting away. That's what's happening to me. And he couldn't see the point in it.